The Guardian.
Right, your full name, please, Mr. Murdoch.
James Rupert Jacob Murdoch.
I'm going to invite you to turn up.
I'm here with Dan Sabbagh, The Guardian's head of media and tech. Dan, it was James Murdoch giving the evidence, but everyone's talking about another man, Jeremy Hunt.
They certainly are. What we've seen today is this enormous release of emails written by almost all by James Murdoch's chief lobbyist, a chap called Fred Michel, and all his correspondence to James Murdoch, updating him endlessly on the progress or the inside information that he was getting as regards the sort of status of the BSkyB bid. I think what clearly, or several things clearly emerge, they find it very difficult to deal with Vince Cable, who doesn't want to meet with them. So they try to sort of go around the back and kind of lobby all these other friendly Lib Dems that they find, friends of Vince's, Lord Oakeshott and so on. That's fine as far as it goes. I guess that's lobbying strategy, really. But what they also do is they try and go around Vince's back by going to some of the Conservative cabinet ministers. In particular, they lobby Jeremy Hunt very hard. There's also evidence that lobbying George Osborne as well. And indeed, we actually learned that the Leveson Inquiry at one point, James Murdoch has a chat with David Cameron on the 23rd of December at a Christmas party, which information that Cameron was reluctant to admit he was even there, and very reluctant to admit he'd even talked to James Murdoch about the bid at that point.
This was a Christmas dinner at the home of Rebecca and Charlie Brooks.
Yeah, that's right, and all very convenient. And what you sort of see endlessly is these sort of cosy text messages, emails, social meetings. That's what's sort of coming up. The real big focus is on Jeremy Hunt, because Hunt gets responsibility for the Sky bid on the 21st of December. That's after Vince Cable's ill-judged war on Murdoch remarks get publicised. Prior to that, though, Hunt has been sort of telling them through back channels and through communications how supportive he is of the News Corp bid. And if anything, you know, Cable's war on Murdoch remarks contrast with some of the things Hunt's people are sort of indicating to Fred Michel and therefore James Murdoch and correspondents, which is, we're on your side, fella, we're on your side, don't worry about it. Then when it comes into Hunt having sort of responsibility for the process, as quasi-judicial it's called in the parlance, i.e. this is all legal decision on whether to let the bid through. This is in January of 2011. The relationship becomes even closer, which is the two sides sort of constantly sharing tidbits of information. Hunt's people constantly sort of updating News Corp just a day or two ahead of where the process is, who they've met. There's a meeting with Ed Richards at Ofcom in early January, and information about that meeting is being passed straight to News Corp. There's even another point where Jeremy Hunt rings round Fleet Street editors for their views on the bid, or one of his sort of early decisions on the bid. He talks to Paul Dacre, and then they pass on sort of Paul Dacre's conversation is sort of shared with News Corp. So there's sort of constant stream of inside information. At another point, it's even suggested that News Corp might suggest some language to help Jeremy with drafting a statement to Parliament in late January. Extraordinarily close. So there's a constant flow of inside information, the status of the bid, helping with language, helping with arguments. There's another point where Jeremy Hunt sort of wants to be sort of look good in the wider world, and he's very keen that News Corp find sympathetic writers of op-eds, people like David Elstein, or sort of take a pro-News Corp or pro-bid position. So allow Hunt to say, well, there's a lot of different views out there, and some of them are for me and some of them against me. So, yeah, Hunt's problem, and he's fighting on as we speak and wanting to stay in position, is he's got to deal with this sort of charge of collusion, and I think it's a pretty serious one.
And at one point there was the audible gasps in the Royal Courts of Justice as some, I think one email in particular was published in relation to what Fred Michel had told Murdoch about what he found out from Jeremy Hunt's office.
This is where he's talking about being potentially illegal, I think, is that right? Or absolutely illegal, even. I think there were gasps because yes, Michelle gets a sort of information as to what's going to be, I think it's sort of about 3:30, what's going to be released to the Jeremy Hunt's initial decision about the status of the News Corp bid, that he's he sees some serious issues, but he's minded to negotiate with News Corp and see if he can avoid a Competition Commission referral. And Hunt's people share him the timetable of what's going to happen the next day. 7:30, sort of public announcement, stock market announcement. 9:30, statement to Parliament, etc., etc. And so Michelle passes on to James Murdoch saying, I think this is absolutely illegal. And then there's a sort of a greater than sign and a question mark or something like this. And James Murdoch says, I took that to mean a joke. and everyone's sort of absolutely floored by this.
Well, now we know what makes James Murdoch laugh, at least.
Well, I guess that's true. Look, what's clear, it was inside information. Whether it was insider information, I think, is sort of one for the lawyers. But this is not the point. What we're seeing is an incredibly close relationship. You know, by contrast, I think the sort of all these other newspapers, Dear Old Guardian, of course, but the Mail and the Telegraph, that all sort of got together to oppose the bid. They got sort of one very formal meeting and no sort of real information about the process and no help at all, and felt that their treatment was completely different to the treatment that Hunt's people seemed to be giving News Corp and Murdoch.
And James Murdoch said this was all, appeared to suggest this was all sort of legitimate lobbying tactics. But where does he stand now? Was it a bad day for Jeremy Hunt? But maybe on that point first.
Well, I think it deflected a lot of attention from James Murdoch and his testimony today. I think it'd be very Machiavellian to say that was absolutely the intention of News Corp, but it was certainly the consequence of this vast email disclosure, which they say was forced upon them by disclosure notices coming from the Leveson inquiry, tell us all about the circumstances around the Sky bid. But nevertheless, you know, in all his marathon evidence, James Murdoch was the one who was sort of defending Jeremy Hunt, but kind of saying at the same time, I don't really trust politicians, I don't really trust what they were saying. So, yeah, it was quite good for James Murdoch, but I think he still was a little bit, he struggled a bit, and I think in the morning session where he was talking about why he signed off on the Gordon-Taylor payment, I think he just looked at fundamentally just, it was clear that he wanted to get that meeting over with, as did Myler and Crone, and it was quite clear that he just didn't really have much enough grip of the subject to ask the killer questions and ask the right questions. And when you see James Murdoch talking about television, TV regulation and competition law, he's right on top of it. There's nothing you can get past him. But when it comes to the way newspapers work, he just doesn't quite know the questions to ask. And he sort of said, you know, he kind of gave the impression of he tried to familiarise himself with the Sun, read the News of the World for a while, dead battered a question about whether there are ethical risks in running a paper like the News of the World when he knows full well there are. So I just thought that in that regard, he just looked as ever kind of just didn't quite sort of get the sort of cadence rhythm of newspapers, and he doesn't really care anymore. And he kept saying he was a television man.
And also under the spotlight was News Corporation's relationship with the SNP leader, Alex Salmond, and whether support for Salmond in the Scottish edition of The Sun was given to him in return for support for News Corporation's bid for B Sky B.
That's right. Only a couple of emails about Alex Salmond, none of them making the First Minister look very good. And you've got to remember, Rupert sort of talked very enthusiastically, or tweeted very enthusiastically about Alex Salmond. You know, what a great politician he is. And Rupert does, you know, when he feels like it, consider himself as sort of partly Scottish. So, you know, it seemed very clear that Salmond was rather grateful for the support of the Scottish Sun. It's been the sort of SNP supporter for a little while now. And in return for which, Salmond was quite prepared to bat in favour of the B Sky B deal because, you know, News Corp was an employer of some size in Scotland. I mean, it seemed like a pretty grubby trade. And I think, you know, if anything, again, the eagerness seemed to come from Salmond's side rather than from News Corp's side. You know, some similarity perhaps to the behaviour of Jeremy Hunt, which is, you know, if anything, you know, News Corp was just trying to lobby as effectively as it can. That it did so effectively was partly testimony to the fact that politicians are so eager to fall themselves over for favours from News Corp.
And finally, we've got Rupert Murdoch up before Leveson tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, after today, after a blockbuster day like today, you know, where on earth can it go? Well, it goes straight to Rupert Murdoch tomorrow. I think Rupert Murdoch's going to, you know, he's got 40 years at the top of British public life. I think what you're going to get from Rupert is a lot more breadth. He's not a detailed man. He's not a man to have a conversation with about the ins and outs of competition law and media plurality, but he is a man to talk about his relationship with Margaret Thatcher and John Major and Tony Blair and Gordon Brown. So I think we hear a lot about the sort of long run of history. I'm sure he'll want to defend his sort of contribution and input in the British media, but Murdoch is senior, is so much more unscripted, more thoughtful, pausing a lot, he will in his delivery, but he'll also have an eye for sort of jokes and the aside, and he's very good at sort of displaying his own power by just a few sort of side swipes at his critics. So I think you expect to see something more lively and more watchable. And he may well, in a single remark, he may well sort of say something that's devastating. The other point is, he's going to have to sort of, I think, talk to what we've heard today, less about James Murdoch. I'm not sure he'll feel a great need to defend him. James Murdoch seems to be sort of going sideways downwards, unfortunately for him, in his sort of career in News Corporation. But, he will, I think, doubtless want to say something about Jeremy Hunt. And again, he could be very dismissive. And I think if Hunt is still in his post tomorrow, and he's certainly fighting hard as Fleet Street goes through these emails, these Michelle emails, and sees what he can find, Rupert Murdoch could be the one to be, you know, kind or critical, depending on his mood.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.